This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Brothers and sisters in Islam, the title of our khutbah today is Why is it that we do not apply what we learn? لماذا لا نطبق ما تعلمنا? How many khutab have we heard? How many books have we read? How many articles have we read? Lectures we've listened to? Advice we've received? How much Quran have we read? And how much of all that actually sunk in? And how much of that did we actually apply in our lives? How many times we know the command, we don't act upon it? We know the prohibition, but we approach it. Why is it that we're called to the Quran and the Sunnah and we don't apply it? Why is it that ayat, which would crumble solid mountains, are revealed to us and we're not moved? We pass by a situation and we don't act upon the ruling for that situation. Or sometimes we act upon it and other times we don't. Many people attend courses and workshops, and yet you don't see results in their actions nor behavior. And the signs of knowledge are not apparent in them. We fall short in obligatory deeds, and even more so when it comes to extra good deeds. And for that reason, the need for this topic, why do we not apply what we learn? Someone will come to you wearing a gold necklace, and he'll ask you, is gold halal? And you'll tell him, no, it's not. It's not permissible for a man to wear gold. And he'll smile, shake your hand, and thank you, and just walk away. Like, why did you come ask for this information if you're not going to act upon it? You just want to confirm that you're upon the haram? And why didn't you act upon it? Why didn't you remove it immediately? Brothers and sisters in Islam, application comes forth from iman. And action comes forth from the heat of iman. So if the iman is deficient or cold or non-existent, why would you expect any action to come out of someone? Yani, the difference between the believer and the non-believer. Why does this one pray and care about some of the commands and stay away from the prohibitions? Because he has iman. And that's why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran wants to call us to action, wants to command us to do something, He calls us with this description of being believers, with the appellation of Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. So Allah Azza wa Jalla said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullah. O you who believe, fear Allah. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu lima taquluna ma la taf'alun. O you who believe, why do you say that which you do not do? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu aminu. O you who believe in Allah and His Messenger. So He calls us with iman so that we can move forth from it. And perhaps some people, they're lacking the seriousness that propels them to action. The audiences that attend khutab and lessons, do they necessarily come with the intention of seeking knowledge or coming with the intention of learning something so they may go home and act upon that knowledge? That's the intention. You come to a class, a lecture, a khutbah, you want to seek knowledge with the intention of going home and start applying it immediately. And sometimes people come to see how flowery the talk is, whether the speaker is good or eloquent or not, whether he makes grammatical mistakes in Arabic or not. That's all they're listening for. أخطأ اللغوية. Or they want to hear a moving story that's to see if he'll make them cry or feel sad. But how many people come to a lecture thinking, let me go and learn something new so I can come home and start applying it immediately? Except the only ones are the ones Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy upon. People will come and say, we've heard these, or even, not just the bare minimum, but they want to go above and beyond. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, the famous story that most of us or all of us know, when he's negotiating with the Prophet ﷺ almost, how many days he is to fast. So the Prophet ﷺ tells him, fast one day and you have the reward of 9 days. He says, I can do more than that. He says, fast 2 days. He said, I can do more than that. Fast 3 days and get the reward of other. He said, I can do more than that. He says, the Prophet ﷺ, he kept giving me different options until he said, fast the fast of Dawood alayhi salam. He would fast one day and break fast the next day. He would alternate one day and the next one. So that's the deal he made with the Prophet ﷺ. And he continued upon that. He wasn't just arguing to show that he's religious, but he sincerely wanted to continue upon that. And he continued until he became an old man and the fasting every other day became difficult for him. And he says, I wish I had taken the advice of the Prophet ﷺ. He gave me something moderate and I was young and over, and maybe he's, you know, with a lot of zeal. So he says, I wish I had taken the advice of the Prophet ﷺ. وَالصَّائِمُ أَمِيرُ نَفْسِهِ. We all know, you can break your fast if it's voluntary and there's no sin whatsoever. He could have broken it. He's an old man now. But he said, I wanted to remain upon a deal I made with the Prophet ﷺ. He saw it like a deal. So he's going to continue upon it, even though he became old and it was difficult. So he wanted to continue upon that. A companion by the name of Abu Fatima, known as Thawban, he says, Ya Rasulullah, O Prophet of Allah, inform me of an action to do and remain upon. Look at the language. Teach me an action to do and to continue doing. That's from the beginning you see his intention. The Prophet ﷺ tells him, Alayka bis-sujood, meaning make a lot of prostration, which is in prayer, meaning pray a lot. فَإِنَّكَ لَا تَسْجُدُ لِلَّهِ سَجْدًا إِلَّا رَفَعَكَ بِهَا دَرَجَةً وَحَطَّ بِهَا عَنْكَ خَطِيئًا. He says, I advise you with much sujood, يعني much prayer to Allah, for you do not make a prostration to Allah Azza wa Jal, except that Allah will raise you a rank with it and remove a sin from you because of it. So that means, first thing is that we must be prepared to take in knowledge with the intention of acting upon it, with the intention of applying it. So when we read the Mus'haf, we act out what it tells us, because the commands in it are directed to us and not to someone else. When we attend a class or a khutbah, even if we know the topic, we are testing ourselves against these ayat and ahadith. I've known this ayah my whole life. Do I act upon this verse? And it's all about acting upon it, because even as we know from the hadith, the ayat will come on the Day of Judgment, and they will testify either for or against you, whether you acted upon the ayah or you ignored the ayah. So that means it was there for you to act upon to begin with. From the interesting things, you see that when you apply what you learn, application increases you in goodness and increases you in steadfastness. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ فَعَلُوا مَا يُوعَظُونَ بِهِ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ وَأَشَدَّ تَثْبِيتًا. If they acted out what they were commanded, what they were admonished with, if they acted upon it, it would have been better for them. So they will increase in goodness. وَأَشَدَّ تَثْبِيتًا. They will be more steadfast. So acting upon your knowledge increases you in steadfastness, increases you in good. Some of the problems, yani why do we live primarily in societies where it's not much about action as on applying the knowledge as much as it is about information and just gathering and knowing the information? Yani many times you pull someone aside, you give him advice about it, something that he's doing incorrectly. He will interrupt you in the middle of your recitation of the hadith and continue and finish the hadith for you and tell you Al-Bayhaqi has a different narration, and alim, he has all the different narrations and he knows it. Why do you know it if you don't act upon it? Aisha radiallahu anha, she used to teach a young boy a hadith. He came to her the first day, so she taught him 2 ahadith. He came the next day to learn 2 more ahadith. She said, did you act upon the hadith that you learned yesterday? And look at how they were different from us. It was all about applying it. So she asked him, did you act upon the 2 ahadith that you learned yesterday? He said, no. She said, then why are you increasing the arguments of Allah against you? What does that mean? When on the Day of Judgment, if he doesn't act on this hadith, Allah has an argument against him. He sat down, heard the ahadith, memorized it. It's different than someone who never heard a hadith. So Allah has an argument against you. You sat down and memorized it on this day, at that time. So why are you increasing the arguments of Allah against you? You go act it out first. You act upon the hadith. Then you come back and learn more. That's how they learned. And everyone knows famously the example of the companions would memorize 10 verses and act upon it. Live with those verses, and then they come and memorize 10 more. So in their environment, the way they were raised in their schools, with their teachers, in their homes, it was about applying the knowledge, not just gathering the information. And today we have our focus on other things. Our focus now, especially with our children, we will drive them back and forth, soccer practice, basketball, swimming, this and that. And these are all okay and permissible and halal. But when you look at, when it comes to Quran or learning the religion, not even half that effort, not even half the amount of energy is placed into that. It could also be that most people don't apply what they learn because they're not familiar with the great reward. Why does Allah Azza wa Jal mention the rewards of something in the Quran? So it can motivate us into action. Just like if someone offers us money, it motivates us to action. If someone tells you, you do this, you'll get this much more in your paycheck. If you do that, you'll get that much more. People will immediately rush to that. They know the reward, so they immediately put effort into applying that or doing the action. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us so much or so many different rewards in the Quran. Even reciting the Quran itself, we know that each letter, not each word, but each letter of the Quran, 10 times or 10 rewards. And the Quran has over 300,000 letters times 10. That's like 3 million rewards. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on top of that multiplies for whomever He pleases. Or forgiveness. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever makes wudu, and he does wudu properly, like an act of worship, not just rushes through getting wet, but he does wudu properly, and then prays 2 rak'at without talking to himself, focusing as much as possible. Perform your wudu to the best of your ability. Pray 2 rak'at, try to focus as much as possible. He will have all his past sins forgiven. All his past minor sins forgiven. Just from these 2 rak'at. So you would think that to get such great reward, it would be a difficult action. But it's a simple action. But how many people would do that? And you wonder how many of us today that we just heard this will do it tonight. Just perform wudu nice and slow and pray 2 rak'at. Try to focus as much as you can and have past sins forgiven. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever eats a meal and then says, Alhamdulillah, alladhi at'amani hadha wa razaqanihi min ghayri hawlin minni wa la quwwa, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbih. Whoever eats a meal and then says, Alhamdulillah, who has provided this for me, and finishes the dua, the famous dua in the fortification of the Muslim non-dua. If he does that, his past sins will be forgiven. Taib. How many meals have we had? Hundreds of meals or thousands of meals, and maybe we didn't say this dua. But that's not the point. The point is, shouldn't we feel hurt when we discover that we missed out on so many great opportunities? Look at this example of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. This is Amir, the son of the famous companion Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. He says, we were sitting with Ibn Umar, and then Khabbab appears and he says, Ya Abdullah ibn Umar, didn't you hear what Abu Huraira says? The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever leaves with a janazah from its home and prays over it and then follows it until burial will have 2 qirats of reward, 2 measures of reward. Each qirat is the size of the mountain of Uhud. So whoever follows the janazah, does the prayer, and then follows it until the burial, he will have 2 huge rewards the size of the mountain of Uhud. Each one the size of the mountain of Uhud. And whoever prays over it, then he returns, and he doesn't go to the cemetery, will have the reward as much as 1 qirat, as much as Uhud. So now Ibn Umar hears this, and Ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar, used to pray over the janazah and not follow it to the graveyard. So then he hears that Abu Huraira said, the Prophet ﷺ says, if you follow it, you get 2 qirats. So now he wants to confirm this information. So he sent Khabbab to a scholar to ask. He sent Khabbab to Aisha radiallahu anha to ask if this is true, if she's heard this or not. And then he's waiting for Khabbab to come back with the answer. This is the part. He takes some pebbles in his hand and he's just playing with these pebbles, like as if he's nervous, can't wait to hear the result of what Khabbab is going to tell him. And then Khabbab radiallahu anhu comes back and he says, Aisha says, Sadaqa Abu Hurairah. Aisha says, Abu Hurairah has spoken the truth. So now Ibn Umar discovers that he was missing out on an opportunity of getting another mountain of Uhud size of rewards. So he took the pebbles and he threw them to the ground. He says, لَقَدْ فَرَّطْنَا فِي قَرَارِيْتَ كَثِيرًا. He said, we have lost so many qirats because I didn't follow it to the burial. The point is that it hurt him to know that he missed out on so much reward. Just like the dua now of eating after you finish a meal. You get your past sins forgiven. A person should be hurt. How many meals have I missed this opportunity? That should hurt. I'll tell you something. I purposely, when I mentioned this hadith in the lectures, I wouldn't mention the dua, just to see how many people, after the lecture of why don't we apply what we learned, cares and comes and says, what is that dua? And usually, from a room of 200 plus people, typically one person will come and say, what was that dua after eating? From a room of 200, one person will come and say, what is the dua? I want to know it so I can use it. It happens every time. And not just America, Malaysia, everywhere. Same, one person usually will, or one sister will come and say, what was that dua? Some people, they only want to do the wajibat, the obligatory actions, and not the mustahabbat, yani the extra deeds of reward. So as if they're not in need of reward. And you find someone when they first start to practice, they only pray with the sutra in front of them. They pray all the sunan after the salawat. They only sit down to drink. And then they leave all that. And then when you ask them what happened, they tell you there are more important things. But the question is, why are we frugal with our extra deeds? Again, if we compare it to money, you have your salary. But if you do this, you'll get more in your paycheck. If you work this hour or this weekend or this holiday or this many extra hours, you'll get this much more. And then people will go above and beyond to get more pay. Why are we frugal when it comes to good deeds? Ziyad ibn Jubair says, I saw Ibn Umar approaching a man who put his camel on the ground for a nahr. He's about to sacrifice the camel. And so Ibn Umar, and just listen to his words, and you can feel the love of the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ in his words. So Ibn Umar tells him, إِبْعَثْهَا قِيَامًا مُقَيَّدَةً سُنَّةَ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وسلم. He's telling him, the way of the sunnah to do it, you stand it up, you tie one of its legs so that it, after the nahr it falls over to that side, and so on and so forth. The point is that you can hear the love and the respect he has for the sunnah just from the way he is speaking. Abu Rafi' says, I prayed Al-Atama with Abu Hurairah. Al-Atama is the Isha prayer. Even now, some of our brothers from Jordan, Palestine, they say Al-Itma, it means the nighttime. Al-Atama, it was the another way they said Isha. So Abu Rafi' he says, I prayed Al-Atama with Abu Hurairah. So he prayed with Surah Al-Inshiqaq, and then he made sujood. So after the salah, I said, what is that? He doesn't know the sujood of tilawa here. And Abu Hurairah did it. So Abu Hurairah explains to him, he said, I made this sujood with Abu al-Qasim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَلَا أَزَالُ أَسْجُدُ بِهَا حَتَّى أَلْقَاهُ. He said, I prayed once, I prayed Isha with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He made this sajda in this surah. And I will continue to do that until I meet him on the Day of Judgment. This is not obligatory. He didn't make a deal with you that you have to do it. But this is how naturally, how they loved the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and how much they cared to apply what they learned from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. With that, we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us of those who apply what they learn. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم من جميع الذنوب فاستغفروه فيا فوز المستغفرين. Ask Allah Azza wa Jalla for His forgiveness. Indeed, those who ask for His forgiveness shall prosper. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. Perhaps other reasons for not applying what we learn and applying the knowledge that we learn, it could be the environment. Part of it that perhaps no leadership or no role models for people to take. And having a role model is something that's very important. And the Prophet ﷺ was not just a messenger for us, but a messenger and a role model. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. In the Messenger of Allah, there is an excellent role model for you. And that's why the companions used to follow him in things. And sometimes they'll follow him in things that were not even part of the religion. I mean, there were a few that would follow the Prophet ﷺ in things that were not even part of the religion, which is not what you're supposed to do. But just to show you how they went above and beyond. And that is a lot of problem today for our youth. They don't have someone to look up to. So they start to look up to whoever is trending or whoever is on social media and is eloquent or what have you. So you find a lot of our youth, and we had this discussion just a week or two ago. Like, we asked the youth, who do you like? And they started to mention Jordan Peterson and these people that are on, have clips on YouTube where they're debating certain issues, and they've become the mouthpiece for these political issues because they don't have anyone to look up to from amongst the Muslims in that sense. And then, not only that, but you find that when there's a Muslim fighter, and there's someone basically who punches someone else in the face, and he becomes a role model to everyone, and everyone is following that because they don't have anyone else. So now someone who hits people in the face becomes a role model because they don't have anyone else. So that's a big problem. The other thing is, it could be, or it is, that the environment in which people are raised is one where application is rare, and there isn't much effort put on applying what you learn. An environment is extremely important, and it affects people more than anything else. There was one study once where they asked young men, what is the number one thing that keeps them from practicing their religion? And 96% of them, their main answer was their companions, their friends. This environment and the effect it has on people. And part of the proof of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Naml mentions that Bilqis, the queen of Yemen, she was affected by her environment, even though Allah confirmed in the Quran that she was a very wise woman. She was very intelligent, very wise. But even she was affected by her environment. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَصَدَّهَا مَا كَانَتْ تَعْبُدُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ إِنَّهَا كَانَتْ مِن قَوْمٍ كَافِرِينَ. So what kept her from worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal and worshipping things, what she made her worship things besides Allah Azza wa Jal, is that she was from a people who were disbelievers. Now she was affected by her environment. We're all affected by our environment. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ. So wasbir nafsak, as some of the mufassirin said, يعني احبس, يعني contain yourself, be patient with those who worship their Lord in the night and day. يعني they're worshiping their Lord continuously. They're worshiping their Lord during the night and during the day. يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ. They have ikhlas on top of that. They're only doing it purely for the sake of Allah, seeking the pleasure of Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and don't let your eyes pass beyond them, desiring from the adornments of this worldly life. تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Don't let your eyes pass beyond these people who are patiently worshipping their Lord and obeying their Lord. And don't obey those whose hearts have been made heedless. The environment has a huge effect as well. And there are other reasons, perhaps we'll continue in another khutbah inshaAllah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who hear the truth as clear truth and follow the best of it, and to make us of those who recognize falsehood as clear falsehood and abstain from it. فاللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم اغفر لنا أجمعين اللهم تب علينا أجمعين اللهم اغفر لنا عمدنا وهزلنا وجدنا وكل ذلك عندنا اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمنا وأخرنا وأسررنا وأعلنا وما أنت أعلم به منا. اللهم إنا نؤمن أنك سميع وأنك قريب وأنك تسمع سرنا ونجوانا وتعلم السر وأخفى جل جلالك. اللهم لا تصرفنا من هذا الجمع إلا بذنب مغفور. اغفر لنا أجمعين وتب علينا أجمعين وهب المسيئين منا للمحسنين. اللهم لا تدع لنا ولا تدع لنا لا تدع لنا ذنبا ولا تدع لنا خطيئة إلا محوتها. اغفر لنا الذلات وتحمل عنا التبعات. اللهم أبرم لأمة الإسلام أمر الرشد يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويهدى فيه ويتاب فيه على أهل معصيتك. يا سميع الدعاء، وصلى اللهم وبارك على مبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وقوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله.